Hey everybody, Mike Linville here from Black Dog Marketing, and welcome to this installment of Building a Six-Figure Pet Business, an expert interview series on what it really takes to build and grow a six or a seven-figure business. Now, we've got experts from every corner of the pet industry, from retail and blogging and services and everything in between, and I'm really excited about today's guests, and I know that you will be too. So today on the show, we have Kristen Levine. Now, Kristen Levine is a renowned pet living expert, successful entrepreneur, accomplished speaker, popular columnist, and one-time Tampa Bay Buccaneer cheerleader. We were just talking about this. That's awesome. But what really drives this modern-day Renaissance woman is her passionate belief that we need pets as much as they need us, and that by making the world a better place for them, we make it a better place for ourselves. This belief, held by Kristen from an early age, first led her to volunteer at an animal shelter and then into a position of PR director for the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, SPCA, in Tampa Bay, Florida. Now, for the next 15 years, she promoted pet adoption and pet lifestyle education at the SPCA. But that wasn't the only challenge Kristen tackled during that time. In 2000, she auditioned and secured a spot on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers cheerleading squad. As a member of one of the NFL's most elite squads, she proudly represented the NFL and the Buccaneers for two seasons at games and community events, and was even selected to travel to the Middle East to entertain U.S. soldiers following 9/11. After hanging up her pom-poms, Kristen began looking for her next challenge. In 2003, she founded Fetching Communications, which I think is actually how we first got to know each other. The nation's first marketing and public relations agency dedicated solely to the pet industry. 10 years later, she acquired PetPR.com, a news distribution service. Today, both companies assist pet-centric clients around the globe. Even while building two successful companies, Kristen never lost her passion for helping people connecting with their pets in deeper, more meaningful ways. So in 2014, she launched a brand new business, Kristen Levine Pet Living. Through engaging writing and video content, this unique web platform allows her to educate and inspire pet parents on how to live better lives with pets. In addition to her own platform, Kristen educates the public on pet living and pet adoption through print media and television and radio appearances. As a pet lifestyle expert, she's logged 1,000+ live TV and radio interviews on shows such as Good Morning America, Fox News Channel, and USA Today. She is a popular guest columnist, that's a tough one to say, buddy, for several pet parenting blogs, including Fido Friendly and the official pet spokesperson for Abyssal Home Care. An engaging public speaker, Kristen's entertaining and inspiring message celebrates the American love affair we have with our pets. Kristen is married and lives in Florida with her dog, two cats, and a pair of miniature donkeys, really?
Really?
That is awesome. Thank you very much, Kristen. I really appreciate you taking some time. I know you're really busy.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure, Mike. I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
Awesome. For awesome. Now, this is going to be really good. So, before we get into like my interview questions or whatever, tell us a little bit about yourself. And we talked kind of through your profile and all that other stuff, but you know, tell us about your experience with your businesses and, you know, kind of why it is that you're here with us today.
Oh, sure. Well, gosh, as you said in the intro, I started my career in the pet industry as a PR director for an SPCA here on the west coast of Florida. And I spent 15 years there, and it was the greatest job. I mean, I was in charge of promoting pet adoption, spaying and neutering your pet, just overall responsible pet care. And this is back in the days before the internet, or at least before, anywhere near it is today. Mm-hmm. And so people really had trouble finding resources and solutions to their pet problems. And so that was one of the parts that, besides the pet adoption aspect, one of the things I loved so much about that job was being able to help people find solutions and prevent people from having to turn their pet in to shelter. Mm-hmm. And I just, being there for that length of time and having the opportunity to work with so many different local pet businesses, really just kind of galvanized my desire to stay in the pet industry. And in 2003, I kind of struck out on my own and started Fetching Communications, like you said. And, the funny part is that I really started Fetching because I felt like it's time for a change, in my career. I didn't I didn't go into it with a business plan. It was more of a just kind of a leap of faith, and I'll figure this out as I go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the cool thing about it is I never in a million years would have imagined that I would end up, you know, growing this company to where it is today. So, my intentions were just, you know, to find another job in the pet industry or to make my own job. And, due to a lot of, you know, great people in my life, in my network circles, was able to build a successful company.
No, that's awesome. And I'm glad that you're talking about fetching, because I think that that thing has been around for, 15 years now?
Yeah, 13 next year. We're almost at 13 years.
Which is fantastic. I mean, that's just, you know, for a business to be around for that long, it's a testament to what you've done and what you've actually built. So now, when you started with fetching, I mean, obviously you didn't go into it with monetary, like, I need to get to this point, or I need to make this much money. It was really more of a, you had the experience in the PR and you wanted, you were looking for a change. So when you got started, was it just you, or did you have other people with you?
Yeah, it was definitely just me. It was just me and my very first client. I was so fortunate, because when I was working at the SPCA, one of our annual sponsors for our pet walk was Purina. Mm-hmm. And so I developed, there's a local, you know, at the time, local Purina office here in Tampa, and I developed a great relationship with the marketing director. And so she actually became my first client when I struck out on my own.
Nice.
I did start out on my own. I believe I hired my first employee probably somewhere in the middle of year two.
Okay.
And that just came about as, you know, like I said, it was a time when the pet industry was really starting to boom. I mean, it's been booming for, you know, 17 years, but mm-hmm. it was really just kind of starting to grow. And, a local veterinary specialty practice I got introduced to came on board as a client, and things just started to grow from there. Word started spreading. And I was on my own for almost 2 years.
Okay. Great. No, that's great. So now, when you started to bring folks on, was that really just to help kind of take care of some of the work? Did you bring on like worker bees, or did you bring on like office staff, or how did that process grow?
Yeah, good question. So the first person I brought on was a lady that I had known from my SPCA days. So it was somebody already in my network, and she was a producer at our local CBS affiliate. And because most of the clients that I was working with at the time really wanted local media exposure, she happened to call me one day and say, "Hey, I'm, this news station grind is getting to me. We want to start a family, so I'm looking for a more flexible work opportunity." Mm-hmm. And I knew about her work ethic and her love for pets, and so I said, "Hey, it just so happens I need help." Mm-hmm. So she actually came on as a publicist with Fetching. And really, in those early years, the people that I brought on had expertise in marketing and PR, because my expertise was, you know, frankly, it was limited to local market PR for an animal shelter. And, you know, I saw the potential for the type of clients we could serve was going to take, a greater level of expertise. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what really ended up happening in those first probably 3, 4, even 5 years was I was hiring that expertise on board, and then I kind of took over more of the, you know, management, operations, and, you know, the financial part of the business. I should mention too that I didn't shift, Fetching didn't become an employee model until probably year five. So These people that were coming on board were all independent contractors, some part-time, some full-time.
But then at some point in time, at the fifth year, then you went ahead and brought them all on employees.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, a very important thing happened to me, like, in my fourth, fifth year of Fetching, and that was I hired a business coach. And, you know, I went to school for communications. I didn't go to school for business. So, and I had never really set out to build a company, grow a company. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit in over my head in terms of what I should be doing, from a business growth standpoint. So I have to say, and I've said this 100 times before, that I credit my business coach and the women that were part of my business development group for me being here today and for me being successful, because there was so much I didn't know.
Right.
And if I had never found those resources or sought them out, you know, goodness knows, you know, where Petra would be today. So, yeah, absolutely. You can't do it alone.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's funny, cause I'm kind of in the same boat. When I started this business, I've got a degree in engineering, right? So I'm like I'm a nerd. I'm not even supposed to be seen. I'm supposed to be one of the guys in the back. And I just happened to start building websites to kind of put myself through school. And I enjoyed that much better, but I didn't have, you know, any idea about how to run a business. I thought, you know, look, I'm just going to do my best and see what happens. And, you know, learned a lot of mistakes
absolutely.
The hard way. And, you know, sometimes doing your best isn't necessarily it's not necessarily what grows a good business, I guess. Let's put it that way.
Right,
you know,
right.
It gets you really great raving fans, but in terms of business growth and stuff like that, it's not the end all be all for sure. So that's
right.
Interesting. So at year five, you go ahead and take this. So now as you go through this process, so you're hiring and you're basically hiring on the talent, right? You're kind of steering the ship and they're basically doing the day to days. So what other kinds of challenges as you go through, because I know that fetching is a really successful business. So, you know, as you break through that six figure mark and you get into seven and it really starts to operate as a business, as kind of this entity, what are some of the challenges that you experienced getting to that point? Like, what are some of the personal things that you had to deal with to realize, oh, hey, I need a coach. I'm kind of, you know, I need some help.
So how long is this show?
As long as we need.
Okay. No, so challenges. Oh my gosh. There were, and still to this day are, with fetching, I think, so we've always been a virtual agency.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, for a few reasons, to keep overhead costs low. And also I liked the ability to hire talent from anywhere in the country, as opposed to right here in the Tampa Bay area, mm-hmm. especially for such a niche industry. I really wanted people with pet or veterinary marketing PR experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it was challenging running a virtual agency and working oftentimes never meeting employees that worked for a company. You know, I think another big challenge was there were many times along my path where I needed capital to be able to hire the level of talent that I needed. And, you know, it was always like the chicken and the egg. It's like, well, in order to land these bigger accounts, I need more people, I need more talent, but I can't do that until I land the big accounts.
Mm-hmm.
so that was, you know, really always a struggle. And you know, you just kind of, I never sought, you know, investment dollars. It was all self-funded. So, you know, I probably could have grown faster had I wanted to do that or understood well enough about how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would say, you know, the cloud model is a bit of a challenge, but it has so many benefits. You know, it's not a challenge that would make me want to go the other direction. Managing people.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I'm not schooled in, but I have certainly learned and gone through training and certainly understand it a lot better now. So that was a big learning hurdle to overcome. And being in having a communications agency when everything was changing,
mm-hmm.
when social media was flaring up and the internet and some of the traditional forms of PR that I knew best from my days back at the shelter were becoming less and less important or relevant. And that was, you know, so that massive learning curve to stay on top of everything was and to this day is still a big challenge.
Yeah. No, and it's funny that you said that. I mean, there was a couple of things in there that I pulled out that I thought were just incredibly meaningful is, you know, the first thing you talked about was capital. And, you know, a lot of times when we start talking about things like marketing, because, you know, marketing is one of those things you just kind of always have to do in some fashion or the other. And it's not necessarily, a lot of times people correlate marketing with growing a big business, and it's not about growing a big business. Sometimes it's just about keeping the cash flow going so that way you have options. Because when you're going check, and a lot of the people that are going to be watching this series are, you know, they're having struggles trying to break through that I can do it all myself type of an ideal. And, you know, it's the capital is what makes it possible. That's what gives you the ability to hire folks. That's what gives you the ability to bring on new softwares that are going to help you automate or do whatever the case may be. So I think that that was great. And the other thing is the fact that, you know, everything just changes so fast now. It's not 50 years ago, you know, when everybody was, you know, Mad Men style, things didn't change nearly as quickly as they do now. I mean, now it's like things are popping up like, you know, Snapchat and Periscope and, you know, Facebook has got 1.something billion people. I mean, it's just ridiculous how fast things grow and change and evolve. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it's tough to be on kind of the cutting edge of all of it for sure.
Exactly.
So now as you're growing this business, you're hiring the talent, you're kind of steering the ship. What are the kinds of things, other than just people to actually do the work, the publicists and all these other things, what other kinds of things were you outsourcing?
Well, you know, with such a, and I'll compare it also to the business I'm building right now, because I'm doing a lot more outsourcing now than I've done in the past. So with fetching, you know, as I said in the beginning, I was outsourcing talent. But then once we became an employee model, I was outsourcing things that I really didn't need full-time talent for, like graphic design, or let's see, web design, things like that. Social media for a while until we started bringing that in-house. The business that I'm growing now, which is Chris Mulvey Pet Living, I'm really looking to build a business that is primarily, you know, all outsourced. Because, you know, I'm kind of at this stage in my career where, okay, I've done the company thing, you know, the employees and the management and all that, and that's great, and that serves one purpose. But for me personally, where I'm at and what I want to accomplish going forward, I don't want to spend that much of my valuable time, you know, managing people, and rather hiring, you know, outsourcing to the experts like you, so that I can focus on what I do, what only I can do in my company. So, and I think that was, you know, that was another struggle I had all along with fetching, was, you know, trying to be me in what I do, but also, you know, running, you know, being the wizard behind the curtains, and like, you know, steering the ship. You can only do that for so long before you realize you either need a solution or you're gonna just collapse.
Right. No, and you know what I think is really interesting is that you said, you know, as you get further and further along in your career, the time becomes kind of more valuable than any kind of, you know, monetary or whatever else the case may be. I mean, I really, and I'm in the same boat. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's like the time you spend with family, the time you spend with friends, that kind of stuff. You know, I don't really have these big numbers on my wall. Like, I need to hit this, I need to hit that. I mean, my litmus test now is how much time can I spend with my daughter before she just completely doesn't want to talk to us anymore, or whatever the case may be, you know?
Yeah, the clock's ticking, Mike.
Yeah, I know. I relish every day of it, though. So I guess that brings me up to something else, though. So, you know, so you're starting this new business. You've had fetching for quite a while. That's incredibly successful. You know, you guys brought on petpr.com. So now, you know, you've expanded services and things of that nature. So now you're starting off on this new brand, this Kristen Levine Pet Living. So what's the goal with that? Like, in your mind, when you started this and you said, I'm going to start this new thing, did you actually start with a financial goal? Like, I wanted to get here, or this was going to do this? Or was it really more of a, this is kind of my passion, I want to follow it? And
yeah, well, it was really twofold, because, you know, what had happened was I had hit the 10-year anniversary mark with fetching. And right about that same time, my father passed away. And he was young. He was only 67. And you know, that's, you know, a watershed moment in anyone's life, you know, when you lose a parent. And I was at a stage in it fetching where I was, you know, I wasn't playing a role that I enjoyed like I used to. And when this whole personal issue happened, and it just made me realize, you know, life's too short. You've got to really enjoy what you do. And I'm in the pet industry. How could I not love coming to work every day? You know, so I started thinking about, you know, my dad inspired pet living, because my sister and I were reflecting on how much his dogs meant to him. And one of his dogs survived him, Bear. And we were talking about how much more social he became when he adopted the two dogs. And, you know, he was healthier, he was more active. And And I thought, you know, I really want to help other people learn how to live healthier and happier through their pets. Mm-hmm. And I think we all know that pets are good for us for a number of reasons, but I don't think we proactively leverage those relationships with our pets to be happier and healthier. So that's kind of the whole idea behind pet living for the pet owner, is that I want to educate people and show specific ways that you can, you take this companion you already have, and how can you tap into that relationship for better health and happiness. Mm-hmm. On the career side, I thought, you know, how can I combine my experience, like the best parts of what I've done? Mm-hmm. So matching pets and people at the SPCA, you know, growing a thriving business at Fetching, how, you know, helping brands reach pet lovers. And I kind of came up with this, you know, conglomeration of, well, I want to authentically help pet lovers and then help brands reach my following, mm-hmm. Through my platform, Pet Living. So, you know, it takes on a few different forms, but it's a little bit of my favorite thing, sort of. And yes, I did, because I've learned, I did start with a business plan. I did start with a budget, and was fortunate to be able to hit the six-figure mark in just about 1 year of launching. Nice. So clearly, I mean, you know, all that knowledge and all those mistakes I made in the past have definitely helped me to feel more confident and just, you know, save time and money going forward to build a new brand.
No, that's fantastic. I know we've talked a little bit about, you know, just kind of the idea behind the Pet Living brand, and I dig it. I think that it's great. I think that it brings together a lot of really good pieces. It's kind of like putting pieces together that people don't necessarily put together, and just kind of saying, oh, here you go. You know, here's what you need to know. I think it's awesome. I think it's fantastic. I'm sure it's going to be wildly successful. So, thank you very much for your time. I've just got one more question,
sure.
You know, with all of the experience that you've got, you know, through Fetching Communications, through acquiring Pet PR, through, you know, relaunching a new brand, and kind of doing everything that you've learned all these mistakes. A lot of the people that are going to be watching this, like we talked about, are going to be people that are struggling, you know, they're starting to get burned out because they're not doing things quite right. They're starting to get burned out.
Right.
Their back is against the wall. Maybe the bills are piling up. Maybe they're forgetting who their family is because they're just passing ships in the night, whatever the case may be. So if you could give those people, you know, maybe two or three sage pieces of advice, like what are the two or three things that you think somebody that's in that kind of a position should really be focusing on right now to break them out of that and get them to hit that next step, whatever it is, six figures, seven figures,
sure,
whatever.
Sure. Well, I guess, the first thing is to really understand your objective, and not just your business objective, but understand, why are you doing this? How is this going to impact your life? Because you really should be building a business that's going to serve your life, not, you know, using your life to serve your business. So I would say just, you know, take those moments. And I love to do this kind of thing at the end of the year, every year, you know, the holiday season. It's just kind of stop and rethink everything once again. It's okay to change things.
Mm-hmm.
But to be really clear about why you're doing what you're doing. And secondly, look, can I give you three? I have three. So
Absolutely.
That's the first
yeah.
one. The second one is to either hire a coach, or if you're not in a position to hire a coach yet, find a network of people, whether it's like Whippin, which has been a phenomenal resource, you know, for me in growing this new business. It doesn't have to be an entire network either. It can be, you know, a colleague that you've met, you know, in the pet industry that you know, resonate with, but have someone that supports you and that is in a similar, you know, entrepreneurial situation that you are in, to hold you accountable for your goals. And to support you when you're having those tough times.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, I would say, don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone. I mean, that's where you're going to grow. That's where you're going to have your biggest successes, is when you get out of your comfort zone. And I am a business professional development book junkie. I have 17 books on my nightstand right now. My husband teases me all the time, but I just, I can't get enough of, because it's sort of like having that voice in my head when I'm reading these books. Mm-hmm. Like right now I'm reading Success Principles. It's just like having that voice in the back of my head that's saying, yes, you're right, you're on the right track, but you know, keep at it. And, yeah. and you know, whether you're getting that from a book or from a colleague or from, you know, a spouse or a friend, it's really, really important, because you know, it can be lonely when you're a solopreneur, when you're growing your business. It can definitely be lonely, and you do start to sometimes question yourself.
Right.
So yes, I would just, you know, make sure you're clear on your objectives, get out of your comfort zone, and have a coach or people surrounding you that are positive and that will support you.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. You know, it's funny. One time I watched, I'm a big fan of Darren Hardy. I don't know if you know Darren Hardy, but he's the managing editor of Success Magazine. And I saw him do a presentation one time where he basically took a glass of tea. So it was like just a dark liquid. I think it was tea or coffee or something.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how he doesn't listen to the news. He doesn't hang out with negative people. He says, because they just muddy the water. But he says, what you do is if you take clean, good, you know, educational information. So he started pouring a clear glass of water into this thing, and as more good stuff went in, the bad stuff kind of went out. And it was that, it just, that stuck in my head. Like I saw that like 5 years ago, but that stuck in my head. Like, that's so good. Like the more good stuff that you can put in, it just doesn't make room for the negativity or the bad stuff or the whatever. So no, I think that's fantastic.
That's a great way to think about it. I can visualize it right now. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No. Darren Hardy's fantastic. I love him. Oh, and by the way, I actually, you had recommended that book, Essentialism. Picked that one up too. So that's actually one of, awesome. I don't have 17 on my nightstand, but I actually do have a,
I'm not reading all 17. There's just a lot of them are collecting dust, but yeah, Essentialism is an awesome book, and it really helps you focus on what's important in your life and what, you know, and teaches you how to say no to things that really aren't essential to your objectives. So good. You have to tell me what you think after you read it.
I definitely will. And I know that, you know, saying no is way more important than saying yes. So that's awesome. Well, Kristen, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. This has been fantastic. It's always a pleasure talking to you. So if people that are watching this, if they want to be able to get a hold of you, if they want to find out more about, you know, Kristen Levine Pet Living, or what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you can, my website is kristenlevine.com. It's spelled Kristen, KRISTEN, Levine, LEVINE.com. Mm-hmm. I'm on Twitter at Pet Living. I'm on Facebook under Kristen Levine Pet Living. And I'm on Periscope now, and I'm going to be starting a really cool program for pet product manufacturers, really affordable way to reach pet parents. So I'd be happy to talk to you about ways to help expose your brand with pet lovers or just be a sounding board, you know, as a fellow entrepreneur.
I love it. Periscope is awesome too, because it's just blowing up right now. It's crazy. So in terms of, you know, getting, it's funny. Before we get off, I just got to share this story with you.
Yeah.
So the other night I was playing with Periscope. It's maybe like a month or so ago. I was playing with it because I've heard people talking about it, and I was like, let me just check this out. So my dogs were good that day. They went to the groomer and they didn't, you know, whatever. So I bought them ice cream on the way home. So I sat there and I periscoped my dog licking an ice cream cone. And I literally had like 20 people following me watching my dog eat ice cream off of my sofa. And I was just like, and then the light bulb went off and I was like, this could be big. So Periscope is definitely one of those platforms that we're looking at. We're doing some testing on right now. So I think that's fantastic in terms of trying to get out there and get stuff in front of pet
Absolutely.
Owners.
Absolutely. And if you're not on Periscope, you know, all you need to do is you can use your Twitter handle to just download the app and just watch. You don't have to participate. Just watch to see what's going on and so that you understand, because like you said, Mike, this thing's going to be big and everybody's going to be jumping into it and you know, need to decide if this is going to be for your business or not. You don't have to do all the social platforms, but you know, you need to pick the key ones that are going to resonate with your customers. So check it out.
Pick a couple that are going to resonate with your customers and do them like nobody's business. That's absolutely right.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well,
I'm going to follow you so I can watch your dog eat more ice cream later.
Well, he's got another grooming appointment pretty soon. He's getting pretty pretty stinky. So he'll be doing some more ice cream eating next week for sure.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Kristen, thank you very much. So we're going to go ahead and post, when we post this video online, we'll go ahead and post your Twitter, you know, links to your Twitter and all that other stuff. And then, you know, if there's anything else that you want, just, you know, follow up with me afterwards, let me know, and then we'll go from there. Thank you very much. Awesome. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.